Welcome to another episode of Music City Metal. DJ Fish in the Electric Fishbowl with you. It's been a minute since we've done an episode. I guess been one of those springs where as soon as the weather got nice, I've been outside and I haven't spent much time in the studio. Plus, I haven't able to have bands over the house, and I had several scheduled. And our guest today, Jesse Brock from Lines in the Sky, was one of the bands actually scheduled to be in the studio yesterday. But for obvious reasons, we got to do it virtually. Jesse Brock, welcome to Music City Metal. Thanks for doing the virtual thing here, man. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thanks for linking up with me on this. It's super cool.
You know, I love extreme metal. I really do. But at this point, and it seems to be getting a little saturated with it here in Nashville, a little bit, where every band's a death metal band, and that's fine. It's okay. But point being is that I'm really digging what you guys are doing. It's different. I hear elements of other bands that I've even a couple of times like, wow, there's a little Floyd-esque Pink Floyd thing to it. And every once in a while, it's just good to listen to some nice, clean vocal music that takes you away. And that's what Lines in the Sky does to me. So welcome to the show. And we're going to play, we've already played Thalassophobia a couple episodes ago. And I had a friend here and we kind of made a joke like, do you think they did that on purpose to see the word ass jump out at you? And we kind of made a joke like, yeah, that's the first thing I say is ass phobia. And yeah, I didn't think you intended it, but it made it for a good pun at the time. But tell me a little bit about Lines in the Sky and introduce the bandmates. I know one of them's your brother, and welcome, Jesse. You have the floor.
So Lines in the Sky is myself. I play guitar and sing, and I do the production and programming. And the drummer is my brother, Bowman Brock. And he was going to try to be over here today with us, but I'm making him stay at his apartment because he is an essential worker and came relatively close to a COVID case recently. So I'm like, keep your distance.
Yeah.
And then we have a bass player. It's a revolving door of people right now. It's basically two players depending on the show and what we're doing, but it's Nick Mills, who played with me, and Jesse Peck in Edge of Reality.
Yeah, Jesse Peck from Crusade, how I got turned on to you.
That's right. Yeah. It's so funny, I don't have it in my head that he's in Crusade. I'm always like, yeah, we played in Edge of Reality. And then our other bass player is a guy named Ben McAnally, who I went to school with, and he's just, they're both amazing players. So that's the lineup. And we do, it's hard to say what we do exactly because, yeah, we pull from a lot of different influences. We generally try to call it something like alternative progressive rock because it certainly has alternative moments in it, but it certainly has some progressive things about it. And most of our listening cycle consists of progressive rock bands, or has consisted of progressive rock bands. So that is that's kind of what we do. We're from Nashville, and yeah, that's kind of like a basic introduction.
Tell me about the name Lines in the Sky. Where did how did that come about? Whose idea was it? It's unique, a little different.
Yeah.
And what was the inspiration for the band name?
So, Bo and I, I guess he might have still been in middle school when this happened. He had just started playing drums, and we were just kind of jamming and stuff, getting him, you know, familiar with like a band setup. And we had several songs that we played frequently, and one of them was called Lines in the Sky. Why it was called that, I'm not entirely sure. I might have been reading some goofy conspiracy thing one day and just decided to name the song Lines in the Sky. And we had we played like a local show at like a, I want to say it was like a 4th of July celebration. It was our first show. And we had another name for the band. And Bo always remembers this better than I do, what that name was. But somehow on the poster for the show, they put the name of that song. Not sure how they found out that that was a song of ours and thought that it was the title of the band, but it stuck after that.
It stuck, yeah. Oh, that is, that's a good story. I'm glad I asked it. So I say, after all this nice introduction, little band history, we play our first tune. And you have a nice little write-up. We're going to play Teeth, and this is off your last album, Beacon, that came out last year. Thalassophobia is the newest single that is out right now. So I understand that you are working on new music then. If you have one single, is it the first thing from a new album?
That's correct. Yeah, Thalassophobia is the first of the new stuff. And it's kind of serving as the bridge track from the sound that was on Beacon to the newer sound.
It's a nice long one. I like it. I really enjoy it. We'll see if we have time to play it again. If not, go back two episodes to the spring preview and you can hear Thalassophobia. But the way you describe Teeth, and this was what you wrote, Teeth is a unique Peter Gabriel-esque, dark and slinky initial release from Lines in the Sky last full-length album, Beacon. Lines in the Sky played Teeth as the lead-off song in the performance at the International Progressive Rock Festival at Rozfest in 2018. Where is that at, by the
way? So that has been in, it was in Pittsburgh. Oh, I'm sorry, not Pittsburgh, Gettysburg.
Gettysburg.
Pennsylvania. Oh, that's nice. This past year, it got moved to Clearwater.
Oh, yeah, down south. Well, you opened up with Spock's Beard, Haken, Neil Morse Band. Some great stuff there. And I think you all are going to enjoy Teeth. Here it is, Teeth from Lines in the Sky on Music City Metal.
To us.
Teeth by Lines in the Sky. Jesse Brock from Lines in the Sky with us. A great tune, dude, and really digging it. So tell me about, you mentioned that you're going from to bridge the sound from your last album, Beacon, into this, to the new album. So are you guys evolving and changing a little bit? Is that
we are a little bit. When we did Beacon, actually more or less, this is more, let's see, let me back that up. After we did Beacon, we realized that we were setting certain traps for ourselves as writers. As a guitarist, I generally like to write in a mid-tempo kind of thing. That's at least in the alternative world, we tend to stick to our mid-tempos. And that's fine and all, but when you have a record of mostly mid-tempos, it gets kind of redundant. And so one of the things we wanted to do was to break out of the mid-tempo thing. And Thalassophobia is actually like still kind of a mid-tempo song, but there are several new ones that are quite, they have a really brisk pace to them, and there's a lot more notes. And so in Thalassophobia, where we started to try to break out of this, was with that outro. There's a fairly quick, almost death metal-y sounding part at the end.
Yeah, it changes. It changes up a few times in it. And I made that comment when we played it a couple episodes back. So when are you do you have a goal? What's the timeline of having the new stuff out? Because as soon as the new stuff comes out and this quarantine crap is over, we'll have the whole band over and play that album. I can guarantee you that. I love having people. We really enjoy entertaining bands, as we said. And when you come over to the Fishbowl, you get a meal and everything. But so when is you have a goal for releasing it?
Well, we were thinking by the end of this year, but obviously with quarantine and everything, we're kind of our plans have been altered. And I think I would say probably certainly at least one more single this year, maybe two. And then an album probably the beginning of next year.
Well, I see you do it all yourself. You have your own label, and when you take all that on yourself, you all have to eat and work.
Yeah,
and coordinating band member schedules. I know how that goes with.
Well, it's crazy in that aspect right now because Bowman works. He has a number of jobs, but one of his jobs is a third shift position. And so it's 3 days a week he's working third shift. And during the day he has like this really specific way that he naps to like get him ready for that shift.
That makes it tough. That makes the lineup, you know, trying to coordinate rehearsal and recording time. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But
and the other crazy thing with this too is the guy. So we do most of the work ourselves, but we're recording drums, bass, and guitar over at a friend of mine's studio. It's a house studio, and two of the members of that household got COVID.
Oh wow!
So we're they're both. I think one of them is certainly recovered. The other one is in the kind of like recovery period right now. But so we're gonna make sure that they disinfect that place and make sure everyone's feeling good before we head over there too. So that's a factor in when this comes out as well.
I think it's gonna be a factor in our lives for some time to come. But I do believe this too shall pass, and I'll tell you what, I'm going stir crazy. I haven't seen a live show in a while, and I was out at two or three a week supporting the local acts here. And
yeah,
you know, the virtual thing's been nice. I've been doing some live broadcasting a little bit and whatever, doing whatever you got to do. But I'm ready. I'm ready to go see a live show again. And I think
I am.
Yeah,
I am totally ready to get out there. I've, you know, there's been a few shows. I had a lot of tickets, man.
Yeah,
the Bury to Me show got postponed indefinitely, and then
I had Fozzy tickets with my nephew yesterday, and I think they haven't officially postponed it because they moved it to July, but Megadeth's over now, I guess. I don't know if they're even going to tour this year at all now.
Man.
I know. But the good thing about it is people are going to have more money in town here to go out and see the local acts.
Yeah.
And yeah. That will, as soon as all the venues start opening and the mayor gives a thumbs up, people are going to be itching to get out and especially go see the local acts that are a lot less expensive than our A-listers that come through town here.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so it'll kind of be a blessing in disguise for local bands like yourself.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to, you know, the party that is the end of this quarantine, be it, you know, packed shows or, you know, even, I mean, I'm sure like, you know, the bars and restaurants are going to see a ridiculous spike in business.
Yeah.
In their dining rooms, but yeah, man, I honestly can't wait to go to a show because like the FaceTime Zoom thing is cool, but there's just an element of it, you know, that is not working. And you know, it was cool to see, you know, someone like Devin Townsend do his virtual concerts. He's actually been really proactive with releasing content, but it's just not the same as seeing him.
What I mean. It's been, you know, it's kind of gotten us through the last month and a half, and there have been some times where it's great, and then, you know, there are times where you just, oh my gosh, we just got to get out. We go out for a drive and get out, I go fishing, do something, because I'm a pretty active guy, and but, you know, going to see live shows were that was my hobby, supporting local acts. So what do you say we play another tune here?
Yeah,
Great Deal is going to be track two. This is, again, going back to the album Beacon. A little bluesy intro, you say, and a chorus that hits hard. Anything else you want to share about this tune?
It's a hard hitter. It has that bluesy thing. Let's play this one.
All right, let's play it. A Great Deal, Music City Metal, coming up a little bit down the road after this segment with Jesse. Mary Fish, my better half, always comes in and has her note to the metal chicks here in town. But first things first, here's A Great Deal by Lines in the Sky.
In attention, it's piled on your plate, no hope to finish. I'm looking over details you don't mention, but clearly you just want them to diminish. Chambers filled with no one listening. They're howling out in anger so egregious.
Nothing to wait till from there.
plane of coexistence. But you cannot destroy definitions.
Great Deal by Lines in the Sky, Music City Metal. Jesse Brock doing virtual appearance. Looks really nice where you're out there. We're FaceTiming, and yeah. Looks like it is a gorgeous day. As soon as we're done recording, I'm going to get back outside myself. I love spring. It's like my favorite time of year. You sent me a really nice outline for today's show, and I was reading it, and one of the first things I read was that the last show you played was at the Cowan and opened up for British Lion. And I'm going to tell you, Jesse, my wife and I were this close from hopping in the car and going last minute. And I don't know what happened. She's just like, let's save the money for our date this weekend. You know, we just saw Iron Maiden. And she's like, I've listened. And then we just decided to scrap it. But had I known that you guys were playing, that would have tipped the scales. So it was kind of a last minute thing. How was that opening up for them? Was it did you get any new fans that night?
Oh, we did, yeah. We met some really cool people, and some of them kind of kept in touch, which is cool. It was a last minute show for us. Like, I want to say we got the email, maybe 3 days or so before.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely sure. Usually when you get an email like that, there's something political going on, like maybe a band dropped or maybe the venue added extra band last minute for the promoter. It's a little hard to tell, but it was a last minute thing for us, and it was an experience, man, because, you know, obviously it's cool to see Steve, and they were a great band too. But if you have somebody, you know, of that caliber, that type of the headliner, you know, they make a lot of changes to the schedule. And, man, we were stressed to say the least.
I bet.
But their road crew was so helpful, and we were on and off really quickly, and I was pretty happy with how that show went.
How was the turnout there? Estimation? Yeah. Couple thousand, few thousand?
No, the Cowan's certainly not that large. I want to say I feel like the Cowan is like around like a 800 cap room.
Oh, I thought that was a 2,500. Maybe I'm confusing it with Marathon. I know Marathon's a 2,500, but
yeah, I think the Cowan is. I could be a little bit off on that, but I want to say they had it at about like 400-ish people or so. So it was kind of an odd day. I feel like it was on a Tuesday.
It was, and that was one of the reasons why my wife had a big day at her job the next day. And I don't know, I'm not into flying solo, but I was really actually kind of new to listening to British Lion, and obviously it was a cool side project. Not being straight, I liked your music jumped at me more than British Lion did. It just, it was cool. It would have been nice to see, you know, just cause, I'm a huge Maiden fan, love Steve Harris, all that, but Mary's like, you know, I don't know, I'm not like dying to see them, that I love them that much. I'm like, yeah, I know. All right, so we'll. But, you know, I react to music that grabs into my heart and my spirit. And, you know, that was one of the things that happened with your band, the way you guys just think, the subjects you delve into, your arrangements, how you get really heavy and then kind of at the reel, or I don't know, I guess psychedelic really isn't the right word, but you guys change up and just made my spirit feel good, I guess, in a sense, man. You know?
Well, we definitely, first of all, that's really kind of you to say that, but we definitely try to write music that will connect with people. We certainly write for ourselves to a certain degree, but I mean, there's the biggest factor is like, you know, like what is going to latch on with the people listening to our music in every aspect, be that with like something like a drum part, you know, something that Bo's playing, like how are people going to groove to this, or what about the guitars are gonna stick with people, like what's the guitar hook like, and then also, you know what are we saying in our songs, and what's the melody like in the vocals. So that is, I mean, we try, that is in the forefront of the writing process, and it's great to hear that it resonates with you.
Yeah, well, it really did, and actually my wife is she's more of a deadhead than a metalhead, but we cross over when it comes to Iron Maiden and Megadeth, and you know, she likes the big names. I'm into I like all the extreme stuff. But when I'm in a moment where something's got to touch my heart, it's like your style of music, Pink Floyd, or something that takes me off to another place to make me forget about. And you all are definitely on that track, at least with me. I don't know if I'm speaking about the masses, but for me, I really enjoyed it. And as soon as I spent some time listening to your music, I reached out to Jane to have you all on the show, and I would like to play the next song, Beacon, which I'm going to tell you is my favorite song on this album. I listened to it all the way through the last 2 days twice, so that I feel like I know something about the music. But this one, this one's nice and heavy. I really like it. And when we come back, we'll chat for another another minute or two, and we'll tell the world how to order your merch and support the band, how to find you online, all that good stuff. But in the meantime, let's go back to the 2018 title track from the album Beacon, Music City Metal with Jesse Brock.
Drums we paint our faces.
Yeah, man, this one's really nice and heavy. I like it. I love that track. Yeah. How many, what can we expect on the next album? And like, how many do you have written? And what's the, going to be a full length EP?
So we have several things here. There's a list of songs. Some of them are not finished. A few of them are finished. A few of them are just baby ideas right now, but there's a list of about 17 ideas that, that we are kind of sitting on right now. We're trying to figure out what the move is. I have a suspicion that we'll probably do several more singles this year. I think I said that earlier. Several singles this year, and then a full length record at the beginning of 2021.
Well, that'll work. That sounds good. You guys, I was just reading a little bit about your bio and. You guys got, how many years now you've been together? Just,
we've been playing as an ensemble for, man, I guess the better part of a decade, like 9, 10 years, and really taking it seriously in the past, you know, six-ish years.
And, that's a tough one.
Yeah. tough word, yeah. My isolation is starting to affect me. But I'd say for the past 6 years, it's kind of been at the forefront of all of our musical endeavors. And we're just ready to get the next thing out. We've got a cool batch of music that we're working on. And another thing that's going to be interesting about this record is we're going to have the revolving door of bass players. There's going to be more people coming through that door than usual for us. For example, our original bass player, the guy named Zach Wakefield, is going to be making probably, I think, 2 appearances on this record.
Oh, nice.
Nick's going to play. McAnally's going to play, and then I think a couple other friends of ours from bands around the country are going to play as well. So,
you know, that's great. That's kind of a neat thing because the bass player really kind of sets the tone with the drummer to the rhythm of the song, and everyone's got their own feel. Like, of course, I'm biased to my buddy Steve Casto. I don't know how much of Crusade you've listened to, but he came over last week and helped me out putting my fence up in my yard and laid some of this new Crusade on there. And he's like, his goal is to break musical theory and abilities and how he plays the notes going from, you know, playing 9/32nd notes. I'm like, dude, I don't even know what you're talking about. 9/32nd notes. So, you know, the bass player does really set a base of the, how the song flows with the rhythm of the song, and bringing in different players is a pretty cool idea, I think.
Yeah. And every bass player we've ever had has had definitely had a different flavor. You know, Wakefield, it's funny. He's into a lot of doom metal, and he always has this kind of interesting heaviness to his playing, that I've always loved. Ben McAnally is a jazz, funk, hip-hop guy and writes just some tasty riffs. And then Nick has chops for days and he can really shred on the bass. But they're all super versatile and it'll be cool to see them all play on the same body of work for sure. So... And then, as well as the other people that we have kind of lined up, everyone has their own flavor. So it'll be neat to see how the writing process blossoms with everyone.
So let's tell the world, you said you have some merch available. Do you have your own website? Or go ahead and give all the social media links, give all the website and how you can order some merch, which obviously we all know supports independent bands. Go for it, Jess.
Yeah, so linesinthesky.com.
Oh, nice and easy.
Yeah. And you know, we're generally, if you do Google searches as opposed to the address bar, if you just type in Lines in the Sky Band, that'll come up. And then we're on all the socials, most actively on Instagram, which is just Lines in the Sky. Search us on there.
That's easy. Yeah, it's a great name, actually. I like it. I between me, you, and the entire planet, I've watched some of those shows about the chemtrails, and there's no doubt that that exists. And you mentioned it's kind of started in a jokingly way like that, but brother, we do have time to play Thalassophobia. Make sure you visit linesinthesky.com. There you can connect with all their socials. And Jesse, as soon as you get a new show scheduled, please let me know. Whenever this lifts, I don't know. I'm thinking a couple more weeks, things are going to start to get better. I don't know. I'm getting that hopeful feeling because this town depends on live shows to survive. All of us do. So hopefully the worst is over with that. I really appreciate you taking the time to hang out, and I really look forward to when the entire band can be here, when you have some new music out, and maybe even before that, you just got to come out to the Fish Farm here. Are you familiar with Fish Fest? Have you heard of that?
I don't believe I'm super familiar with it.
Okay, so this year we're going to have a 2-day festival here. We have 6 acres out here in Lebanon, and we're in the process of converting it to a private campground. But but last year, on my 50th birthday, it started out with Steve Casto, who's in Crusade. Also, he turned 50 in June. I turned 50 in August, and so we celebrate our birthdays together, kind of usually in July somewhere. But this time we're like, hey, let's do a party. Let's have some bands play. And that's how it started. And within 3 months, we had a mini festival. We had food trucks, food vendors. We had a CBD truck out there selling CBD flower, guy making custom pipes and selling catfish nuggets. And we had 8 bands. So this year, Fish Fest is going to be 2 days, Friday, October 2nd, and Saturday, October 3rd. It's going to be like a camp thing and 20 bands. So if you're we're going to have 2 stages kind of go back and forth. We're going to have metal on one stage and prog alt rock on another stage, like alt chill rock psychedelic. So if you guys aren't doing anything, I'm going to stay in touch with Jane. We got an excellent manager. She's so well. Anytime I communicate with her, she's right on the spot. You're really blessed to have her. I look forward to meeting her, too. Keep Fish Fest, October 2nd and 3rd. Keep it in mind. If you're not already opening up for British Lion or of the like, but if you got nothing going on, I'd love to have you play. And I hope it's long before that I get to see you guys live. We're going to wrap it up with... We're going to wrap it up with Thalassophobia, the newest single by Lines in the Sky. Thank you, Jesse Brock. Next time we'll have the whole band here. We'll do it all right up face-to-face in the fishbowl here. Absolutely. Thanks for listening to Music City Metal. God bless you, brother. And here it is, Thalassophobia. To understand. Thalassophobia. Thanks to Jesse Brock and also manager Jane Brock. You guys were fantastic to work with. Great interview. Go check out Lines in the Sky. Normally, Mary Fish is in the fishbowl for this last segment, and her and I have been trying to have the same schedule and coordinate to get in here to record it for over a week now. She is working from home. I have a part-time event thing going on, and we just haven't been able to coordinate it. And then the plan was this past Sunday, May 2nd, we were going to record, and a storm hits, internet out, power out, all that. Had a mess to clean up in the yard, and we'll get Mary Fish in for the next episode of Music City Metal coming up probably in another week or so. We're lining up some bands. If you want to be on Music City Metal, go to fishproductions.rocks, send a message on our contact page, the name of your band, links to the music, and we would love to feature some new great metal talent that's here in Music City. Until then, hey, you want to make the world a better place? Commit a random act of kindness to a complete stranger. Peace.